is Miss Erin Masterson, and she is also from the University of California, San Francisco. And it's a continuation of this study that they are both speaking upon. So the topic is General Dentist Approaches to Treating Challenging Children with Public Insurance. So, Ms. Masterson.
Okay, so as was said, this is a continuation of what Kristen just talked about, but from a slightly different perspective, the dentist perspective. I have no relationships to disclose. As you can imagine, children respond very differently to an encounter in the dental clinic. Their behaviors can be influenced by age, fear and anxiety, previous experiences in the clinic, pain or a lack of preparation for the visit. Some children are unable to sit still and become hysterical or uncontrollable once they arrive in the clinic, which comprises safe and effective delivery of treatment. Also, dealing with such children takes extra time and does not necessarily generate revenue for a clinic. Dentists deal with the typical child patient by using interpersonal techniques such as showing, telling, and then doing a procedure, and adjusting their voice and using appropriate body language to try to console the child. Advanced techniques, as outlined by the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, are reserved for use with uncooperative pediatric cases and include methods such as nitrous oxide, protective stabilization, oral conscious sedation, and general anesthesia. Low-income children are at higher risk for dental disease, particularly early childhood caries, than our other children. And nationally, only half of general dentists accept children with Medicaid. So it's not surprising that parents report difficulty in finding providers and scheduling appointments for their children. General dentists are also often not equipped or not willing to treat challenging children using advanced techniques, but rather refer such patients out to specialists. And publicly insured children are more likely to be referred out to a specialist from a general dental clinic than are children who have private or no insurance. In the existing literature, characteristics of general dentists who are most likely to often or always refer patients out have been identified. However, the point at which these dentists decide to refer an uncooperative child for specialist care has not been extensively explored. So this study was designed to qualitatively explore urban and rural dentists' provision of care and interactions with their low-income patients, particularly those under 5 years of age. And specifically, the investigation sought to understand the actions and experiences of general dentists that comprise their decisions to maintain or refer challenging patients out. We selected a convenient sample of 25 general dentists who served low-income patients, particularly children. They accepted public insurance and practiced in clinics located in either an urban city in Northern California or a small rural region in California's Central Valley. The participants were recruited by direct approach of the interviewer, and the data was collected by semi-structured interviews, which were recorded and transcribed, and then codes were developed around the dentist's attitudes and actions in relation to uncooperative patients in their clinic. The researchers independently read, coded, and analyzed the transcripts using the InVivo software package. Of the 25 general dentists interviewed, most of them practiced in an urban clinic. More than half, especially those in the rural region, worked in a federally qualified health center. The majority of dentists were of Asian origin, had practiced for approximately 11 years, and had worked in their current clinic for about 6 years. I'm now going to move on to describe our findings. The general dentist participants explained how they manage their pediatric patient base, which we have modeled by this flowchart. Flowchart represents the typical management process from when a child enters the clinic for the first time, up at the first box at the top of the screen, to their potential treatment outcomes, the two ovals at the bottom of the screen. The first and most crucial decision point, whether or not the child represents a challenging patient, is made soon after the child arrives in the clinic. Dentists describe challenging children as those who are particularly young, usually under 5 years of age, and had a very difficult time just sitting still in the dental chair. They also described challenging children as those who had a very severe need for treatment, which is often the case with low-income children, as well as those who behaved uncooperatively. And these children were usually the older kids who yelled and resisted, you know, being seated in the chair, which was often attributed to dental fear. The three double-bordered rectangles in this diagram contain the three main decision points at which directed the process of dealing with these patients. So this is when the dentist decided if the child was challenging, unmanageable, or manageable. The two simple rectangular boxes contain the actions taken, either a trial exam or referral, on the basis of the three decision point categories. And the two ovals at the bottom, as I said before, contain the possible outcomes for a child who has been deemed challenging. So as I explained, though these dentists reported there was no absolute predictor of a child's behavior and reaction to the dental clinic, age, severity of need, and uncooperative behavior frequently cause a child to be considered a challenge. And children less than 5 years of age were often deemed unmanageable from the time they stepped foot in a clinic and were immediately referred out, not even given a chance to behave during a trial exam. However, most dentists offered at least one trial exam to patients, and some continued trying to treat the child during follow-up appointments and exams. And during these trial exams, dentists used generally just the interpersonal methods to, which included, as I mentioned before, the communicative techniques, as you can kind of see in the right photo, and parental presence and or absence, whichever seemed most helpful in the treatment room. But despite attempts with various interpersonal approaches, many dentists acknowledged a continued inability to complete treatment for some challenging children, at which point these children are labeled unmanageable and moved to the right side of this flowchart. Once the decision has been made to deem a child unmanageable in the dental clinic, he or she generally enters a very complicated system of referrals to specialists and therefore experiences a combination of various advanced management techniques, which depend on the methods offered at the clinic to which the child is referred. However, only 6 of the 25 general dentists that we talked to were equipped and willing to utilize an advanced technique in his or her own clinic. And most of the general dentists we spoke with, said that they eventually referred some of their challenging patients out to another clinic. Nitrous oxide, commonly known as laughing gas, reduces a patient's anxiety but does not restrict his or her movement. And this is an advanced technique that carries very few risks, and the dentists are free to administer without requirements of a certificate. However, this method was rarely used by participating dentists. The use of protective stabilization was also discussed, which was sometimes the physical restraint of a child with the help of a parent, but more often it was the use of the papoose board, to which the child is strapped down for the duration of treatment. And although this technique is very controversial, this was the most common technique used by the dentist who participated. Only a couple participating dentists used either of the chemical restraints, oral conscious sedation, which is a depressed level of consciousness, or general anesthesia. Both of these techniques, which carry increased and varied risks, require certification from the state to administer in California. Two outcomes were possible for any of the children who were considered a challenge in the general dental clinic. Those who were deemed manageable and responsive to the use of interpersonal techniques or any of the advanced management techniques eventually received successful treatment. However, challenging children who are categorized as unmanageable wind up in one of two different outcome categories, either those who obtain successful treatment having become manageable through the use of an advanced technique, or those who are not followed up on or never receive treatment. So the question that we asked was, why do some referrals not result in successful treatment? And we found that public insurance influences dentists' actions and experiences with their pediatric patients. The shaded shapes on this version of the chart mark the points at which public insurance is likely to have a deleterious influence on a patient's outcome. First of all, only a small percentage of general dentists accept public insurance. Even fewer pediatric specialists do, which leads to very long waiting lists, sometimes several months long, for these children. publicly insured children who are already at high risk for dental disease and early childhood caries find it difficult to locate a provider and then to remain in that practice because, as we discussed, they often have an extensive need for treatment at the top of the screen, especially those at young ages. And those who present uncooperative behavior in the clinic demand extra time, which often, more often than not, does not generate revenue for the clinic. Few dentists who accept public insurance offer an advanced management technique, but instead they refer these challenging patients out to a specialist who may be able to offer such a technique. But some reasons that influence this decision is that when reimbursement is per service, participating dentists told us that the reimbursement rates are often not worth the time it takes to treat an uncooperative child. And additionally, the high-quality radiographs required for reimbursement are especially difficult to obtain with an uncooperative child. So in summary, the existing system works against dentists' extra efforts and time spent treating children. Yet when dentists refer challenging children out, there's no way to follow up with them, and these kids with public insurance often fall through the cracks of the system. So in summary, this investigation suggests that one reason that challenging and unmanageable children, particularly those with public insurance, often never obtain successful treatment for their oral health needs. I'd like to conclude by thanking my research team, our funding agency, and all of the contributors to this project. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Our next presenter. This